Drive with Julian Clover.
Getting you home.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Angus Deaton, Helen Atkinson, Wood, Michael Fenton Stevens and Philip Pope are reuniting to take classic scripts from the award-winning BBC Radio 4 show Radioactive to the stage. It's coming to Cambridge Junction on Friday the 11th of May. And I'm pleased to say I'm joined on the line by Michael Fenton Stevens. Good afternoon, Michael.
Hello, how are you, Julian? All right?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
I'm sorry to hear it's raining in Cambridge.
It's always raining.
It's never raining. Whenever I've been to Cambridge, it's just a bit foggy. Or misty, as they say, as it comes in off the fens.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I once did a piece with somebody from the university who does weather stats. And I think we're something like the fourth driest place in the country. But you wouldn't you wouldn't think that this last week. That's the problem.
You wouldn't think so if you've done 3 years of pantomime in Cambridge, which I have. So being there through the months of November and December.
Yeah, you know what it's like. I'm rather nervous, actually, having sort of listened to Radioactive back in the day in the early 80s.
When you were a child.
When I was a child, as a boy, I guess I was trying to think. I hadn't quite started doing radio when it started,
but did it inspire you?
I wouldn't go that far. It's just like slightly nervous when I'm sort of giving an introduction and then sort of doing, you know, local headlines and things. And then my mind goes back to Mike Flex and Mike Stand and An Adapter and the rest of you.
I know. I just find myself at the moment ploughing through recordings of it because we're looking for. We're looking for one more joke. That's it, and I'm going through one that will work. And I've just discovered one where he says, "I've got with me Philip Johnson, who's a ear and nose specialist." So, Dr. Johnson, and he goes, "Yes, pardon." It's a terrible joke. Anyway, never mind.
It's working here. How does it present?
Yeah, well, we sort of when we first did it all those years ago. In the 80s, we thought that we were being terribly clever. And we were all based in London. So we were, to a large extent, sending up capital radio. So we weren't really just doing local radio. We were doing commercial radio, mostly.
Capital radio was very different then. You know, those might have been the days when, I don't know if it was, would have been Michael Aspel or a guy called John Sachs on mid-mornings. But the kind of easy listening kind of capital radio is, of course, nothing like the capital radio that we hear today.
No. And then as we went round the country, touring the show around, I mean, we started doing stage shows. We got interviewed on lots of different commercial stations and lots of different BBC radio stations, local radio stations. And then, of course, you suddenly find lots of material cropping up. We did an interview with a man on BRMB in Birmingham. A long time ago, and we were looking for new characters for the show, and we sat outside and listened to this man, and it was quite a late night one. It was after we'd done the show. He was very, very sweet, but somewhat nervous. And the more the show went on, you realised that actually he didn't have the ability to cut off any of his callers. One of the things I remember is somebody saying to someone. Saying to one of his callers, "Yes, I just wanted to say thank you very much for your lovely card you sent me." And the caller said, "Yes, well, thank you for yours, Paul." And so we realised that actually he sent cards to all his listeners. He turned into a character that I did on radio, actually, called Martin Brown, who was supposed to have come from hospital radio. But they hired him because he was cheap, you know. And that's what we did. I mean, we in the end we set off originally just parodying radio, local radio, but eventually we attacked all sorts of broadcast media, including television. We just use it as a means to go into everything. And then when we transferred to television and did KYTV, we thought we were being very outrageous and thinking of all these brand new ideas for. But Sky TV, which had just launched at the time, and none of us could afford to watch. None of us had a box to watch it on. So we sort of guessed the sort of things they do, and we came up with all sorts of ideas, international caravanning was one of our sports events, and then we've discovered since that all the programs we thought of then that we thought were outrageous have been completely outdone by everything they do on thousands of channels.
I remember there's the early days of Sky TV, and they used to have this ridiculous... They had the WWF, of course, which everybody remembers. But hidden away in the schedules was this strange women's wrestling programme, and it was called Glamorous Ladies of the Ring, GLOW. And I'm not entirely sure how they precisely got that acronym. But lo and behold, I learned that Netflix have now made a drama about it.
Oh, no. See, you can't write it. You can't write parody without somebody eventually doing it. That's the problem.
We had a program
which was a topless dance, and I think you can find that now on some channels as a form of entertainment. And also, we thought it was a very funny idea that one of KYTV's channels was to be 24-hour weather, rolling weather, find out the weather at any time of the day or night. And we thought that was very amusing at the time. And now there are 24-hour weather shows where somebody just stands in front of a screen saying, it's still raining a bit, I think. Actually, that's about it.
Local radio in particular has changed so much, I think, particularly over the last 10 years. And I'm sitting here...
If it had changed that much, then really the show we're doing wouldn't work so well, I don't think.
I suppose.
We took it to Edinburgh, and what we're doing is actually... We're doing two programs that we wrote in the mid-80s. So they're unchanged, really. We're not writing new material. We're recreating two radioactive programs on stage as a radio performance.
And how do you perform? Do you gather around the microphone and somebody rustling in a box for the effects or something like that?
Yeah, we do it as if we were doing a radio recording on stage. And so we just perform it as if we're doing it with scripts in hand and everything. We have learnt it, but we're acting it. And then that's what we do. Now, we did that in Edinburgh last year, and we just because we thought, there'll be a few old diehard fans who'll come along. And it was great. We sold out. We had lots of young people came who'd never even heard of us on the radio. And they all got the jokes. And a lot of people said, it's very funny, we need to write that. We said, 30 years ago. So you say that local radio is...
Well, possibly, it's not as...
Obviously, yours has.
Well, yes,
105. It's 105. It's like stratospheric. It's amazing.
Well, apparently so. So our marketing people tell us. It's
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, and I'm pleased too. Well, I'm kind of looking forward to this, really. Is there songs as well? Because one of the highlights used to be, and I think Philip Pope, isn't he? He's normally is responsible for a lot of the music.
He is, yes, the great Philip Pope. And he's still there, and he can still sing it all, which is quite extraordinary.
Wasn't it Meaningless Songs in Very High Voices? The possibly Bee Gees parody, he said, for legal reasons.
I know. It is a parody, and we're perfectly safe. Don't worry about the legal side.
Okay, that's
because
good.
When we first brought it out, the Bee Gees did try to sue us. They got their lawyers onto us and insisted on us sending the sheet music to them so they could check it and see if we'd nicked any of their music. But we hadn't, so we got away with it.
It was a legal decision, I'm sure. Michael, thank you very much.
We do all that. We do all the music. Yeah. And it's all in there. We do all the parodies and everything. It's great fun.
No,
do come along if you want to.
I intend to. Thank you very much, Michael. This is on Friday the 11th of May at Cambridge Junction, which is I rather like that as a venue. And have you done that before? You've just been at the Arts, I guess, with the panto. But
Yes, that was it. Yes, I was mother. I was the dame to the great Matt Crosby, who's there every year now.
Oh yes, is a part of the fixtures and fittings is Mr. Crosby.
Well, give my love to Cambridge. I miss it and had a marvellous time there. So I'm looking forward to going back.
We will indeed, Michael. Thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this afternoon. Michael Fenton Stevens, part of the cast of Radioactive, which, as I mentioned, is coming to the Cambridge Junction Friday, the 11th of May is the date. Go to the Cambridge Junction website. Tickets at reasonable prices. It is 4:43 now.